you're just there a really long time, and you, a lot of times you end up doing stuff that doesn't add any value, but you think you're adding value because you're doing something.
Right.
And so you sit there and you work for 16 hours at the end of the day, and you're like, and then you go out and you just fish for 4 hours or 5 hours, and you leave feeling like you just conquered the world, even though you only caught one fish, because you caught that one fish, and it's like, yeah, you know, it's hard to explain, but it's an interesting, it's retraining your brain that working hard isn't the only way to feel good about yourself.
Okay, folks, welcome to the podcast. I am Dr. John Duffy. It is a Dr. John Duffy podcast. Hopefully you found me in the right spot. I am fortunate enough to be sitting again across from Matt. If you listened to us last time, if you haven't listened to us last time, I encourage you to, because you'll get some context for Matt's story real briefly, and fill in any blanks. Matt is a fired up guy who's really bright and has a lot of energy. Went to a really good school, got his business degree, end up working in a very high powered job, and putting in ridiculous hours, but doing really well. And a combination of the hours and the intensity and Adderall, the stimulant medication that's typically used just for ADHD, got the best of him. And at some point, he left that job. And so, am I missing any critical pieces of information?
I think you nailed all of it.
All right, so let's see where Matt goes from there. So what happens next? So you after 2 years of this intensity, you decide you're going to walk away.
Right. And it didn't take me very long to decide. I didn't make the decision over 2 months. I made the decision in about 2 days.
Yeah.
I had a weekend where I was supposed to go have fun with my girlfriend, and I told everyone at work I was going to have fun with my girlfriend for just one day. Just like, I'll be gone Saturday and I'll be back for the rest of the weekend.
Boy, it was time precious when you were working that gig, man.
It was a 3-day weekend too, so I only got one day, the 3-day weekend to myself. Well, I was supposed to, and then the one day I had to myself ended up getting ruined by work, and I ended up having to work the whole day, and was working from a personal hotspot on my phone at a lake house, and so it was not fun. And at that point, I just, you know, my decision was already kind of made. And then I mentioned last week, I got called in by my boss because, you know, what happened to your performance? What's going on? This doesn't work.
Right.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
And I think pretty quickly, you know, within 24 hours, I said, look, this just isn't for me. Like I thought I was killing it here, but you know, maybe I'm not, and maybe, maybe I did kill it here, but I just don't want to be here anymore, because
right.
who wants to live this kind of life? This is not a life. This is just, my life is my job entirely.
Yeah.
And so I went in and I gave my 2 weeks notice, and I ended up working for another month or so there just to help kind of clean up things. But you know, that was it. I think the decision was made and there was no turning back.
It feels like a courageous decision. It feels like it's kind of bold and brave to, you know, given that your sense of self is so wrapped up, at least for those couple of years in that job. And in the years before that, you're a hardworking guy, you're an intense guy. This is what you were gunning for in so many ways. It seems pretty bold to kind of shift your sense of self almost completely, right? Because this is what it was built on. It's like, I'm this hardworking dude. I'm the man, you know, right? I make this big money at a very young age. How hard was it to walk away, or was it easy?
I think it was really hard for a long time, and I had certainly thought about it before. I mean, working 80 to 100 hours a week, you certainly have those thoughts run through your head, and the younger guys, you know, got my peers there, we talk about it all the time. Oh, I'm getting out of here, but you never did, because we'd always remind ourselves, hey, this is such a great job. You know, nobody our age has a job like this.
Right.
Nobody's making money like we are. We got to stay. We got to keep, you know, grinding through this. But you know, eventually you just start realizing that you don't even have time to spend the money you make. You're missing the good times with people that you care about, and you're only in your 20s once, and that starts to weigh on you over time. And
yeah.
And eventually you just realize that, yeah, it's gonna be really hard to quit this job because everyone's gonna question me as to why I quit it. But at the same time, where am I gonna be in a year from now if I continue down this path? Is that better or worse than having people being disappointed that I quit?
Right. It's not lost on me that when you talk about this now, you are smiling. Was this a great move for you? Was this the right thing to do without question?
Absolutely. At the time, it didn't seem like it. At the time, it seemed like it was such a ballsy move. It was everyone who I'd consulted with, you know, and I told you I made the decision pretty quick, but I did consult with some people before I just, you know, willy-nilly quit my job.
Right.
And everyone I talked to said, yeah, I don't think you're crazy, but you really shouldn't quit a job without a job. You should never quit without having another job already lined up and secured. And I had nothing. I had interviewed other places through headhunters, and I had guys reach out for me to interview other places, but I had nothing going at that point. And,
yeah.
And it terrified me at the time, but looking back now, I smile because, I was crazy for being there as long as I was and doing it for as long as I did. I laugh at myself for convincing myself for all that time that what I was doing was normal and healthy and, what I should be doing.
What a gift to yourself at 23, right? 23 years old to recognize, the way I'm living doesn't work for me. I'm going to change it completely. I'm going to reset because, I need to do something different. I need different balance in my life. What an enormous gift to yourself, gift to the people around you, gift to your girlfriend that you've decided like to do something completely different. And yeah, I think I stand by it. It is a pretty ballsy thing because you have to some extent, I would think, redefine what's important to you and who you are.
Yeah, and there's a big ego factor too that sits with it. When you have a good job, everyone around you looks at you like, oh, you have a great job. Oh, things are going well for you, because in this country, we put so much value on what you do as a profession. And, you know, it felt great telling people all the time that, oh, I have this great job. It's you know, I work really crazy hours, really complicated stuff. And I think it was hard for me to get over that. But yeah, it was a realization that, yeah, maybe I can do this, but it doesn't mean it's what I should be doing, or this is healthier, or this is sustainable.
It's interesting, right? It's interesting that we live in a culture that supports this idea of the madness living, right? That this type A, like, intensity, you know, like, I make this big money, I work all these hours. This is a point of pride. You know, this is, I feel good about this. You know, there's a little backlash going on in my field, in like self-help and psychology, that suggests like, no, balance is what we should feel good about. But I think there's still this American way that says, no, you go balls out. You work all the hours you can, you make all the money you can, and you'll rest when you're dead, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, and there's, I think, certainly within the industry of finance, I can't speak to the other industries because that's the only one I've worked in.
But right.
I think there's this, it's almost a brainwashing, and it's kind of like almost like a Catholic guilt that they impose on you, that it's, if I leave the office before one of my bosses, or if I leave before 10 tonight, then I'm not doing something right, or I'm not busy enough, or I'm not working hard enough. And if I'm not slammed right now, then I'm not adding as much value as I could be. And that just gets kind of engraved into the way that you operate, and everyone operates that way. And so you get off telling people how hard you work, because everyone gets off telling people how hard they work.
Right. So what has time been like for you in the couple of months since that day when you walked in and decided, you know, I'm done? And and what kind of feedback are you getting from people, from friends, from family, when you tell them, okay, this is what I did?
It's been kind of a little bit of a roller coaster the last, call it, 2-3 months since I've been out of work. You know, I think at first I felt this overwhelming sense of relief, and when I first quit, it's like, finally, I'm, you know, the lock is released, and I can be free.
Right.
I think that was short-lived and quickly followed by feelings of extreme anxiety, and it's now what am I going to do?
Right.
Okay, I had the great job, and I'm glad I'm not being killed anymore, and I have my weekends back, but at the end of the day, those guys are getting paid, and I'm not. And I have, you know, I have rent to pay, and I have expenses to pay.
Clock is ticking. Yeah,
and
looks bad. You were saying, like, looks bad every couple of weeks. I have to think of another excuse I would tell the next employer about, like, why I've been out of work so long.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think that was quickly followed by anxiety. But what I've really tried to do over the last couple of months is figure out what are the things in my life that make me happy? What are the things that make me tick? Because it can't just be working hard and feeling challenged at work that makes you tick. Because I didn't have anything. I played sports in high school. I was very involved in my fraternity and on campus in college. And all of a sudden, I had nothing. It was work was everything, and then I lost work, and I had nothing. And I was just struggling to figure out what I'm going to do with myself every day. I used to be, you know, every 16, 17 hours of my day were already planned out. And
right.
I had maybe a few hours awake when I wasn't sleeping. And all of a sudden, now it's the complete opposite. It's trying to struggle with – now the balance has shifted completely the other way. And it's – now I've got to find things to populate my life that are healthy. And so that's – I've spent a lot of time doing that. And
yeah. What an absurd contrast, right, to go from – being as busy as a person can be and still sleep a few hours to feeling like, okay, I have nothing but time unraveled before me and I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of a scary feeling because
I can imagine.
You're so used to having so much structure. You kind of feel like an inmate who gets out of prison and all of a sudden they don't know what to do with themselves because they've been institutionalized to live a certain way. And it's the same type of thing. You get institutionalized that I sleep 3-4 hours a night. I get to work and I work 16 hours a day and I'm going to be working on the weekends. And so you don't have to worry about like making plans with people or doing anything because there's no time for that. And all of a sudden now it's like, what do I do?
Right.
What am I supposed to do with all this time?
Boy, the prison analogy is kind of chilling when you lay it out that way. I mean, it's like, yeah, you're free to do anything you want, but not at all. Not really at all. Right. You're really chained to that desk whenever you're awake.
Yeah.
So, you know, go ahead and buy a great car. You're not driving it.
Yeah.
Man. Okay. So with these last couple of months, what have you find yourself drawn to? Is there anything that surprises you?
Yeah. So, I think the big thing that I've stumbled across is fishing. And, it's something I did as a kid, you know, go out and, you know, catch a little bluegill and have fun with my friends when I was in middle school and elementary school. But I started going out with a good friend of mine and kind of really turned a new leaf in my life and understanding that, you know, it's really taught me things like patience and just being able to get my mind away from thinking. It's just, it's a way to kind of find that Zen time when you're relaxed and there's nothing to worry about except, you know, where your lure is going to go in the water or whether or not you're going to pull up a fish. And that's kind of the only thing you're worried about. And it's just a totally different lifestyle than what I was so used to. I was so used to thinking about 6 different deals and how we're going to close this and who I'm going to have to talk to on the phone the next day and how many things I'm going to need to get done in so few hours. And it's just the complete opposite when you look at it, going fishing and just sitting out there for 4 or 5 hours, not doing anything really, maybe catching one fish, but
right.
And feeling so happy and accomplished after that versus how unaccomplished I would feel leaving after a 16-hour day at work. And it's just funny.
Man, there's almost like inherent undeniable wisdom in that, right? I mean, you know, it feels ancient to me, this idea. I mean, talk about stark, almost comical contrast, right? So you picture you at the desk, deadlines, you know, projects that have to be done, you know, and it for 16 hours straight to, you know, standing on the edge of a pond catching fish. And not catching fish a lot most of the time,
most
right?
Most of the time not catching fish, yeah.
Silence, you know, like just I can imagine that a guy is drawn to that for a while, and I can imagine the feeling of Zen and just the silent place you can feel inside your brain that you probably haven't tapped into since you were real young.
Well, and it's also the idea of, you know, part of with Adderall is that you feel accomplished because you work so long and so hard. And a lot of times it's not even that you work that smart or that efficiently. You're just there a really long time, and a lot of times you end up doing stuff that doesn't add any value, but you think you're adding value because you're doing something.
Right.
And so you sit there and you work for 16 hours at the end of the day, and you're like, oh, I got some things, but I didn't get everything done. And you end up leaving feeling unaccomplished.
Yeah.
And then you go out and you just fish for 4 hours or 5 hours, and you leave feeling like you just conquered the world, even though you only caught one fish because you caught that one fish. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's hard to explain, but it's an interesting, it's retraining your brain that working hard isn't the only way to feel good about yourself.
Dude, that is palpable, and there's a lot of wisdom in it. It reminds me, you know, one word I use in my practice all the time. It used to be just about parenting, but I realize it applies to everything. Is availability, and I picture that availability is basically like living as free as you can of fear and judgment and ego. And when I picture you behind that desk, I can picture like there's this illusion of success, right? Something you can say at a party, at your apartment, where people are like, man, that's awesome. But in reality, if there's fear and judgment and ego involved in it, it's not really success at all. There's something vacuous and empty about it. Whereas you at the edge of that pond fishing, you're available to yourself, right? You're present in a moment instead of worrying about what's coming or worrying whether the Adderall is going to work, right? It seems like there's so much burden lifted from you that there's no amount of money that could accommodate for that.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a big piece of it. It's just you go from feeling like telling people that you have a good job and that you work really hard and you make a lot of money, that's what people are going to like you for. And you just eventually someday, or maybe you don't eventually someday, but for me at least, I realize it's like, that's not why people like me, or that's not why people wanted to hang out with me.
Right.
And, you know, people want to hang out with people that are happy and like themselves. And I like fishing, and it makes me like myself when I'm out there. I'm not saying, God, you're just on Adderall. This isn't really you. This isn't you working this hard. It's like, no, that's me out there. That's just me. That's just me in the water and the fish. And that's, I catch something I do. If I don't, but it's not a failure on my end if I didn't.
Right. Right. And you were telling me about like just talking to your friends about what you've been through and how just broadly supportive they are. How it almost felt to me like, as you were saying it, like nobody but me needed me to be in that spot. Like, you know, and I didn't even need me to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was, I had thought that all my friends, like, I don't know, they, you know, maybe looked up to me or were inspired by me because I worked so hard and thought, wow, look at Cotton, look at this guy. He's doing so great. And the fact was they didn't care at all. They don't care what I do. Just like, I don't care what they do.
Right. Right.
They just wanted to hang out with me and spend time with me, and they were upset that they couldn't spend time with me. So I think in the end, they were all happy that I quit my job because they meant they were just going to get to see me more again.
Go figure. They like this better, right?
They like this better. And yeah. So that realization was big for me, because it was like, wow. I thought people would be disappointed in the fact that I had quit this great job and I'd blown an opportunity. And it was like, yeah, in the reality, not at all. It was, everyone was happy for me that I was finally going to be happy again, and that I was finally, you know, going to get to see people again and be interactive. And that's a big deal.
I would guess that everybody who can hear your voice right now can hear the liberation. You seem like a free man. And, you know, in our first half hour, it felt like, oh yeah, you were imprisoned, man. I mean, by the job, by the hours, by the Adderall. And, you know, the fishing mat seems liberated, you know?
Yeah.
So I assume that this doesn't mean that you are going to fish for a living from here on out.
No, certainly not. But I do think it's an important step in kind of the road to the next job. You know, call it, I think you've talked about it before. It's kind of a bridge from one experience to another. What I think it's taught, it's taught me a lot about myself, and that when I've done well in life, I think this is true for most people. When we all feel like we're doing well, it's because we're succeeding in multiple areas of our life. Not just one area, not just work, and not just, you know, socially, but it's when you're succeeding in multiple, you know, facets of your life. And what I realized was that while I may have been succeeding in one facet of my life, the imbalance that brought to my life far outweighed the benefits that I got from feeling good about that one job.
Yep.
And now when I think about the things that make me happy, things like fishing, things like, you know, just getting out and going for a run, and, you know, still being interested in the world of finance and still reading the Wall Street Journal every day and things like that, I realize that, you know, I need to maintain some form of balance throughout the rest of my life if I want to be happy and if I want to be successful, because when you start fading too close to one, either like you know, too much work or too much free time, you're not going to feel good about yourself.
It feels to me like you have, in the last couple of months, shifted everything you think about what success means, right? Because you're using success and balance almost synonymously, right? As opposed to like success is making the most money and working the most hours. It sounds like kind of having it all, having, you know, relationships and being able to go to a baseball game and being able to fish for a while and reading the Wall Street Journal and knowing about finance. You know, it's like what a richer life you're carving out for yourself than the one you had.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have vision? Can you picture 3 years from now? Do you know what you want it to look like?
You know, I want it to look, I don't know what I want it to look like. I know that I want it to be a life where I have some balance, where I can do the things that I want to do. And that may be fishing, it may not. It may be some other hobby that I stumble onto that I also like. But the point is, what I've found that I really liked about this free time that I have, which is too much free time in my opinion right now, feels like too much free time. But
having a lot of balance the other way right now,
we're out of balance the other way. But that freedom is really key to the freedom of having the feeling to be able to go do a hobby that you want to do without feeling like there's going to be a bunch of things to stop you from doing it. And you know, saying, you know, I'm going to go fishing today, and I don't have to worry about, you know, whether or not that's going to get blown up because three other things come out of my schedule. I think that's a really, it allows you to look forward to things in life. And I said something I'd lost in my work because I'd look forward to something and then I'd have to cancel it because of work. And having things to look forward to in life, I think, is really important. Whether that's something just at the end of the day, whether it's a show you watch, or if it's something like a big trip that's coming in a couple weeks or going on vacation. But
yeah, in a way, I'm blown away that you did this job for a couple of years not having that. You know what I mean? It's what a grind not to have like that kind of carrot out there, because I agree with you. I think we all need something significant to look forward to, either at the end of the day, end of the month, that big trip, whatever. And to not, to know in all likelihood, even if I protect time for that, somehow that work is going to encroach on that time and I'm really not going to get that time. I'm kidding myself.
Yeah.
You know, it's just wretched, you know?
Yeah. And that's one thing, and looking forward is, and I think there's a lot of people who don't enjoy their vacations. And it was something I didn't do when I worked at that job. I did have a few vacations and I ended up working through every single one of them the whole time. And I felt good about myself working through them because it was against that ego thing. It's
right.
Like, oh, I'm working hard. Everyone else is screwing around. I'm working hard. And it's like, that's crazy. I mean, thinking about it now, it's like you're on vacation. And
right.
And I think that's something that's really important. Is if you go on vacation, you got to go on vacation. And you got to do it and enjoy it. And that's something that I plan on looking forward to.
I love that. Do you regret the last couple of years? Or are you glad? Did you need this experience in order to make the adjustment?
I think I needed it because let's say I'd started in something that was a lot less demanding, I think I would have always wondered whether or not I could have done the hard job, the badass job, as you say, you know. I would have always wondered if I could do that because I felt that I was smart enough. I felt that I could, and I am. The answer is I am smart enough, but I had to go through that to know that that's not what I want.
Yeah.
That I can, maybe I can do it, maybe I can't. Either way, I need to know that that's not for me. And so it's checking one thing off the list that I don't want to do. And so you're kind of one step closer to what I do want to do.
And you're smart enough, it sounds to me, like to tap more than one intelligence. Like, you know, emotionally, spiritually, in every, socially, that you need balance in your life. And that takes, I think, a whole different kind of intelligence than it does to, you know, be an analyst or something like that, you know? And you, thank goodness, have all of those intelligences, I think, in spades. It's part of the reason I wanted to talk to you here.
Well, appreciate that.
Yeah. In part, I wanted you here because your story inspires me. Sometimes I feel way out of balance, and just to watch how gracefully you are working through this process, it's really so cool. And And so I'm really, really grateful to you for spending the time. I think anybody who's listening, this is one of those podcasts that you may want to return to, because you can learn from Matt that this balance thing, we might have to tap this in our minds over and over and over again. So I cannot express my gratitude to you enough, and I welcome you back here anytime you're willing to come.
Yeah, absolutely, and I really appreciate being on the show.
All right, well, thank you, Matt. And again, you can find the podcast on iTunes, on Podbean, on WGN Plus, soon to be on WGN Plus. If you have any thoughts, questions, comments, smart remarks that you want to share with me, just follow Dr. John Duffy on Facebook and send me a message. And again, I appreciate the time that you protect to listen to me and to listen to Matt today. And I will talk to you next time. Thanks so much, folks.